Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. May peace and blessings be upon His Messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his companions. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about traps of Satan. And inshallah, today, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we will continue to learn about how Shaitan is trying to attack man and to deviate him from following the right path. And as we learned that there are three main ways which Shaitan is using for that goal, which are wealth, women and desires. Last week we learned about wealth as the most easy way that the Shaitan is using to motivate man to disobey Allah by earning unlawful money. And inshallah today we will learn about the second way which the Shaitan is trying to use in order to deviate man from the right path, which is women. In order to be sure that actually women are a way which the Shaitan is using to deviate man from the right path, we will learn about the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, who said, "I have not left behind me any fitna, temptation, more harmful to men than women." Okay, so this is a fact which will clarify it. Okay, and now we will learn about it in details from the verses of the Holy Quran and from the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. And we will learn also how men can try to control the temptation of the women in their life. So what is the meaning that the women are a temptation to men? It means that they are a test or trial to men. A woman is a test or trial to man. What is the meaning of this sentence? The meaning is that when men establish a regal relations with the women, which is the zina, okay? Any relation between a man and a woman outside the Islamic rules, okay, this is illegal relation and this is actually haram relation and not accepted by Allah. Number two, when men make the forbidden looks at the women. When the men keep on looking to the women, this is haram and this is actually fitna and test and trial to the men. Number three, when men disobey Allah for the sake of their wives, for example, earning illegal money. When the women keep on pushing their husbands, you know, to increase their earning. So if the husband will tell to his wife, "But I am not sure, you know, of that project or of that job," she will tell him, "No, but the kids, they need the money and we need food and this is what we need." And, you know, the women actually are very emotional, okay, and they are always easily affected by their companions of the other women. And if the other women are having better clothes or better house or better, you know, whatever materialistic issues, the women will forget completely about, you know, this is not correct and this is not the right path. The only motivation will be, "I want to be better than the other women. So I will push my husband to increase his earning or to work day and night and to do whatever he can do to travel, to leave us, to forget about the family anyway. But I need money. I need to increase the earning." Okay, so at that moment, the wife will be a test and trial for her husband because she will push him to the wrong way. Also, when the men devote their full time to their wives and forget the Lord and His worship. For example, when the wife will be the one whom she likes to go out after 9 p.m., okay, take me out after you come back from the work. And if he will go out with her, maybe they will be out up to 11, up to 12. So it will be very difficult for him to pray Fajr prayer. It will be very difficult for him, you know, to have time, you know, to recite the Holy Quran. Because some of the wives, they like actually to occupy most of the time of their husbands. If he is at work, okay. But if he is at home, okay, this is my time. Okay, but this is wrong. The meaning of all of this is that it is the pressure of the women on the men, okay, which is all the time deviating them from the right path. Okay, now we will learn, okay, the proof for this the effect of the women on men, we will recite from Surah number 3, Surah Ali Imran, verse number 14, in order to know about the effect of the women on the men and how they may deviate them from the right path. Surah number 3, verse number 14.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Beautified for the people is the love of that which they desire, of women and sons, heaped up sums of gold and silver, fine braided horses and cattle, tiled land. This is the enjoyment of worldly life, but Allah has with him the best return, paradise.
Okay. So actually it is clear that Allah is clarifying that the men, they like the love of the things they covet, and number one, women. Okay? So this is clear that, you know, the women, actually, they are very attractive to men, and they can have their effect on the men. If they are planning, you know, to deviate them from the right path, they will be highly effective. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, Shaitan is the third of a man and a woman who stay alone. If a man and a woman are alone in one place, the third one with them is shaitan. Okay, so this is the proof that the woman had an effect on the man, and she may actually be very attractive to him, so that he will forget about Allah, and the shaitan will be the third with him. Inshallah, today we will learn about the Islamic rules which are related to this trial, the test of the women on the men, and how Allah in the Holy Quran guided us in order to try to control that trial. At the beginning, we will learn about the wives of the prophets and the rules of the wives of the prophets, the mothers of the believers, the wives of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. They are called the mothers of the believers. We will learn about the rules in the Holy Quran, and then we will learn in details about the ways how the woman is actually controlling or have an effect on the men. We will recite now from Surah Al-Ahzab. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 33, we will recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 2, we will recite from verse number 28, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to verse number 34. From 28 to 34, in order to learn about the wives of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace be upon him.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك إن كنتن تردن الحياة الدنيا وزينتها فتعالين أمتعكن وأسرحكن سراحا جميلا وإن كنتن تردن الله ورسوله والدار الآخرة فإن الله أعد للمحسنات منكن أجرا عظيما يا نساء النبي من يأت منكن بفاحشة مبينة يضاعف لها العذاب ضعفين وكان ذلك على الله يسيرا ومن يقنط منكن لله ورسوله وتعمل صالحا نؤتها أجرها مرتين وأعتدنا لها رزقا كريما يا نساء النبي لستن كأحد من النساء إن اتقيتن فلا تخضعن بالقول فيطمع الذي في قلبه مرض وقلن قولا معروفا وقرن في بيوتكن ولا تبرجن تبرج الجاهلية الأولى وأقمن الصلاة وآتين الزكاة وأطعن الله ورسوله إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا واذكرن ما يتلى في بيوتكن من آيات الله والحكمة إن الله كان لطيفا خبيرا.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Prophet, say to your wives, if you should desire the worldly life and its adornment, then come, I will provide for you and give you gracious release. But if you should desire Allah and His Messenger in the home of the hereafter, then indeed Allah has prepared for the doers of good among you great reward. O wives of the Prophet, whoever you should commit a clear immortality for her, the punishment would be doubled twofold and is ever that for Allah easily. And whoever you devoutly obeys Allah and His message and does righteousness, we will give her reward twice, and we have prepared for her a noble provision. O wives of the Prophet, you are not like anyone among women. If you fear Allah, then do not be soft in speech to men, lest he is in whose heart is disease should covet, but speak with appropriate speech. And abide in your houses, and do not display yourself, as was the display of the former times of ignorance. And establish prayer, and give zakat, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah intends only to remove you from the impurity of sin, O people of the Prophet's household, and to purify you with extensive purification. And remember what is recited in your houses of the verses of Allah and wisdom. Indeed, Allah is ever subtle and aware.
Okay, thank you very much. So actually, sisters, all of us as Muslims must be aware of these rules, because these are the rules for the wives of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. And Allah is clarifying that it was the command for them not to be soft in speech. Okay? So that those whom they have disease in their heart, they will not be moved with desire. Okay, this is number one. And number two, to stay in their houses. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And don't display themselves like that of the time of ignorance. So actually, this is the basic rules. Okay, to stay at house. Not to put a lot of, makeup and to show their beauty, and also to speak, not to speak in a soft way in speech. Okay, these were the commands for the Prophet's wives, and actually they have their own special rules, because they are the wives of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, because nowadays, for the Muslim woman, for any normal Muslim woman, she can work, okay, but she can follow the rules, and we will learn about the rules of mixing for any regular Muslim woman, so that it will be clear for us. But just basically, we must know about the wives of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, because these are actually the mothers of the believers. They are called the mothers of the believers. Now we will start by learning about the Islamic rule for the dress code, or the Islamic dress code. Okay, so because this is very important for every one of us, in order as a woman, okay, to avoid being a temptation for the men. Okay, so in the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty informed us about the Islamic rules for the Muslim women dress. We will recite now from the same surah. Actually, basically, regarding the women in the Holy Quran and their rules, they are mentioned in two surahs in the Holy Quran. In surah number 33, in surah number 24, and also in surah number 4, which is Surah An-Nisa. Regarding Surah An-Nisa, surah number 4, it is related to the actually rules of marriage, divorce, inheritance. But regarding dress code, regarding the mixing, it is mainly, the rules are mainly in surah number 33 and surah number 24. So now we will recite again from the same surah, surah number 33, to know about the dress code in Islam for the women. We will recite from surah number 33, verse number 59.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم 59 يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن ذلك أدنى أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Prophet, peace be upon him, tell your wives and daughters and the women of the believers to bring down over themselves part of their outer garments that is more subtle, and that they will be known and not be abused. And Allah is ever forgiving and merciful.
Actually, this is an instruction from Allah the Almighty to Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, to order his wives, his daughters, and the Muslim women generally, requiring them when they leave their homes to cover their bodies and heads, not to cover the face, to cover the head and to cover the body with an outer garment. In this way, they would be recognized and be protected from transgressors. This modest appearance would differentiate or distinguish them as respectable women. Okay, so this is actually a command from Allah in the Holy Quran. Okay, a command from Allah to Prophet Muhammad to command the Muslim women to cover themselves from up to down. Okay, now inshallah I will tell you about rules for the Muslim cover. Okay, what kind of clothes you have to put, or you have, you know, wider. Yes, you know you must be covered, but how to be covered, you know, this is actually we will learn about it now, so that it can be easy for everyone inshallah, and it can be comfortable and acceptable by everyone inshallah. But we will recite again about the Islamic dress from surah number 24 verse number 31, because there is another actually part of the body which we are commanded to cover from the Holy Quran, surah number 24 verse number 31. Surah number 24, verse number 31. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمْرِهِنَّ عَلَى جِيُوبِهِنَّ.
The first three lines.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And tell the believing women to reduce some of their vision and guard their private parts and not expose their adornment, except that which necessarily appears thereof, and to wrap a portion of their head covers over their chest and not expose their adornment, except to their husbands, their fathers, their husband fathers, and their sons.
You know, I will know even all of this. I will clarify to you again, but just I want to cover. You know, this is the command of the cover. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to lower their gaze and to cover their private parts. Actually, this is the cover of the chest, you know, the front of the chest. So now from the Holy Quran, we are discussing this because there are some Muslims whom they actually try to convince themselves that there is no command regarding covering the women in the Holy Quran. It is not in the Holy Quran. So when you tell them, no, this is wrong. Allah mentioned it twice in the Holy Quran. In Surah 24, verse number 31, Allah said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and to put a cover on the front part of their chest. This means that this area must be covered. Okay, this is the opening of the dress. If you have a dress with an opening regarding your chest, okay, so it must be covered. Okay, and also in Surah number 33, verse number 59, Allah commanded the Muslim women to cover her body up to the end, down, okay, to have a long dress. Okay, so whoever is trying to say that there is no clear command regarding covering of the women in the Holy Quran, this is wrong, and these are the proof, these two verses of the Quran, the proof for the need of the cover. Okay, but regarding the cover itself, okay, how we can cover ourselves and still be comfortable, still we can go out, still we can communicate with the people in the West, in the East, in every place. Okay, we must know what is the rules regarding the hijab, which is hijab. Actually, is related, this Arabic word, okay, hijab, is to cover. Okay, so if we have a partition, it can be called the hijab. Okay, because it is separate and it covers. Okay, if you are sitting in a room and there are men this side and women the other side, and there is a partition, it is called the hijab. So hijab doesn't mean the head cover. Okay, but it is, used because it was used in the Holy Quran, the word hijab, so it is going on. Some people are using hijab for the scarf, and some people are using hijab for the whole cover. Okay, just for the Arabic word to know it. Okay, but actually it is the cover, it is, you must be covered whether to use the word hijab or not. You must know the rules for how to cover your body as a Muslim woman. Number one, the covering must conceal the entire body except the face and the hands. Okay, so only the face and the hands. Okay, the same which you do while you, when you meet Allah in the prayers. Okay, your face and your hands. These two are allowed. Okay, other than this, it must be covered. This is number one. Number two, the dress should not be translucent or tight. These two. Why? Because what is the goal of the cover? Why Allah is commanding the Muslim woman to cover themselves so that they will not be a temptation for the men. Okay? Accordingly, if I decided to cover myself, but I will have a very tight t-shirt and skinny jeans. So, this is hijab? No, this is more attractive, you know, than showing her body. Maybe her body is not so nice, but when she put red tight t-shirt and very tight skinny jeans, she will look more attractive. Okay, accordingly, the hijab must not be tight and must not be translucent also, because, you know, to cover your body, maybe most of the, not to cover, maybe a lot of people are not covering, but to put very translucent golden clothes, everyone will have, will have the desire to know what is the color of her skin, what is the size of her hand, what is the size of her body, because of this translucent, okay? So the hijab, the covering, must not be translucent or tight. Number three, it should not attract the attention of the men, okay? For example, I can't put a yellow golden hijab, okay? Because the color, the red color, is very attractive normally. Okay, so those whom they put, you know, red color with, for example, some golden threads, okay, it will be very attractive. Also, if I put a red dress, it can't be red, you know, because the goal is not to be attractive. This is the goal of the hijab. If you want to be attractive, you can be attractive for your husband at home. But if you go out and you have the intention not to attract the men, and this is the most important regarding the hijab and regarding all the commands of Allah, it is the intention. You know, if I have the intention not to be attractive, okay, I can make it. But if, for example, some women, they put the hijab because their husbands commanded them to put the hijab, so she is not convinced. So she will tell him, okay, I will put the hijab, but she will put the very tight hijab or the very attractive colors, you know, or whatever. I don't know, the women, they can do anything actually. Number four, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, she should not put perfume. Perfume outside the house is forbidden, okay, because perfume is also a source of attraction for the men. Okay, also the hijab should not resemble the clothing worn by men. And this is actually regarding the bands, okay, wearing bands, okay. But actually regarding clothing worn by the men, if you have a wide band, okay, it will be accepted. So long you put a long blouse with a wide band, it is accepted. So long no one can know what is the size of your body. You can put whatever you want, you know. And again, you know, sister, this is the problem of the relation with Allah. The problem of the relation with Allah is related to the intention. Okay? I can put a very wide band and I can put a very tight short t-shirt. Okay? So it is the same. I am not resembling men, but you are still very attractive. Okay? So the goal of the hijab in Islam is actually to protect the men from the temptation of the women. Okay? And Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, also Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, regarding the hijab, it should cover probably. Okay? Because now, for example, in some of the Muslim countries, they put the hijab to the back, just like this, and, you know, the neck and the upper part of the chest is clear. And she will say, when you tell her this is not hijab, you are very attractive. Because if she is young and she has a beautiful neck and the color of the skin, she will tell you, no, I covered my hair. I covered my head. And actually this is the importance of the intention. If you have the intention to cover yourself, okay, you will not put, a very small piece of material which has a very good color in your head, which will have a very good reflection with your face, okay, and you will not cover your neck, and you will put a tight t-shirt and skinny jeans, and that's it. And actually, this is always around. When you look around, there are a lot of the teenagers, you know, when the parents actually pressurize them to put the hijab, okay, they have to obey their parents. So they will try their best to show their beauty, and at the same time, I am putting hijab. Okay, but this is not the goal. And this is actually the reality of Islam and the commands of Allah. Allah is not commanding us to do things which we don't like, and so we will try to twist it. No, Allah the Almighty, He wants us to be clean-hearted and to have good intention and to believe that whatever Allah is commanding us to do, it is for our sake. And actually, most of the cases of harassment. You know, in the Muslim countries, for example in Egypt, we have a problem with the sexual harassment. It is because of the clothes of the women. Okay? Because a marriage to be married is very expensive. So most of the young men are not married. They can't marry. Marriage is very expensive. Okay? So when he is walking in the street, he will see young women, very beautiful, actually deceiving themselves that they are covered. Okay, but they are putting, as I am mentioning, tight t-shirts and tight, you know, jeans. Or they are not covered. So, if he has desires, and he is a young man, and he is not married, what he can do? What he can do? You know, this is what Allah is clarifying to us, to have a good community, to have a clean community. Okay, we must try to avoid, you know, the temptation between the men and the women. Okay, so this is the hijab, actually, and, you know, this is an advice for everyone whom, you know, she wants to put the hijab or interested to put the hijab. Okay, the hijab is a command from Allah. If you want to put it, you must put it for the sake of Allah, obeying the commands of Allah, looking for the reward only from Allah. Believing that whatever Allah is commanding us to do is for our benefit. Because sometimes in our countries, also in the Muslim countries, when, for example, my daughter will come and tell me, Mama, I want to put the hijab, I will tell her, no, now, not now, after you get married. After marriage, you can put the hijab. Because we want you to show your beauty to everyone, so that, you know, the people will be interested to marry you. And then you have the freedom. You are already married. Okay, go ahead and cover yourself as you like. This is totally wrong. This is totally wrong regarding, you know, the belief that Allah is the one who is planning the events of our life. If Allah is planning for someone to marry, she will marry. If Allah is planning for her not to marry, even if she is naked 100%, she will never marry. Okay, so this is wrong. Number two, to teach your daughter that she must show her beauty, because this is the, you know, the most expensive thing related to her. This is totally wrong. Okay, you are teaching your daughter wrong rules and wrong values. And then when your daughter will do a lot of mistakes after her marriage, okay, no one will actually realize that this is because of what you taught your daughter before. Show all your beauty, okay, show your beauty, and then you can go and marry. You know, this is the problem with the rules of Allah. We must be convinced that this is for my sake, and when I will obey Allah, Allah will give me the best man. If marriage is good for me, maybe marriage is not good for me, Allah knows. Okay, this is, you know, the problem of the whole story is actually the belief in Allah. Now, inshallah, we will learn about, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, mixing between men and women. This is another way which actually is the way... Now we will learn about mixing between men and women and how it is mentioned in the Holy Quran and how it is a very important way in order to actually to decrease the temptation between the men and women. We will recite from the same surah number 24. We will recite verses 30 and 31 in order to learn about command of Allah for the men and women to lower their gaze. Surah number 24, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 24, verse number 30 and 31. Verse number 30 and 31.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها وليضربن بخمرهن على جيوبهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا لبعولتهن أو آبائهن أو آباء بعولتهن أو أبنائهن أو أبناء بعولتهن أو إخوانهن أو بني إخوانهن أو بني أخواتهن أو نسائهن أو ما ملكت أيمانهن أو التابعين غير أولي الإربة من الرجال أو الطفل الذي لم يظهروا على عورات النساء ولا يضربن بأرجلهن ليعلم ما يخفين من زينتهن وتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And tell the believing men to reduce some of their vision and guard their private parts. That is purer for them. Indeed, Allah is fully aware of what they do. And tell the believing women to reduce some of their vision and guard their private parts and not expose their adornment, except that which necessarily appears thereof, and wrap a portion of their head covers over their chest and not expose their adornment, except to their husbands, their fathers, their husbands' fathers, their sons, their husbands' sons, their brothers' sons, their sisters' sons, their women, that which their right hands possess, or those male attendants having no physical desire, or children who are not yet aware of the private aspects of women, and let them not stamp their feet to make known what they conceal of their adornment, and turn to Allah in repentance, all of you, O believers, that you might succeed.
Actually, sisters, Allah the Almighty in these verses of the Quran is actually commanding the believing men and women to lower their gaze from looking at forbidden things. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that, you know, when you are actually mixing with men, for example, at work or while studying, okay, you must lower your gaze. You must look down. Don't put your eye straight forward, you know, to the men around you, for the women. And also for the man, not to put his eye straight forward to the women, you know, because this will make, you know, contact between them through that look, and this may lead, you know, to the desires to increase or whatever. Okay? So this is the command number one, is to look down and not to look up straight to the eyes of the people. Number two, Allah the Almighty is clarifying in this verse of the Quran whom the women are supposed actually to not to cover themselves in front of them. Those only. Okay, you are allowed to show, you know, not to put any cover with. I think this is allergy in this room. This is what is called in Arabic the maharim. What is maharim? Maharim are the people whom the women have the freedom to show her beauty with them. Who are those? Because we must know those people, because those are the people whom you are allowed to remove the head cover with them. Number one, the husband. Number two, the father. Number three, the husband's father. Number four, your sons. Number four, the husband's sons. Number six, your brothers, and your brother's sons and your sister's sons. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Or or any Muslim women. Okay, and actually regarding the non-Muslim women, it is not advised to remove your head cover, because it was mentioned that maybe she will go and describe you to your husband. So this means that her husband, when she will describe you, as if he already sees you. Okay, so it is not advised to remove the head cover except with the Muslim women. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But if the non-Muslims are your relatives, you can remove the head cover. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is regarding the women, and also for the all the male servants. Okay, all the small children. The small children and the old male servants. Now there is no much old male servants. This was before, you know, at the time of the Prophet, but now there is no old male servants. So if we try to analyze this verse of the Quran, it means that, you know, other than your family members, very close family members, you are supposed to put your head cover. Okay? These are the rules of mixing between men and women. And Allah the Almighty, again and again, Allah created us, and Allah already, He knows, you know, how the women are a temptation for the men. And actually, when you communicate with the people in the private life, you will notice that too much mixing between men and women, actually this too much mixing is the cause of a lot of problems and family problems and relations between the men and the women. Now inshallah, I have from the rules of the Islamic rules, what are the rules of mixing between men and women in the private life and in the public life. Okay, so I will read it for you, because this is the rules, okay, which we must follow. Regarding the mixing in the private life, this concerns the conduct of people when they are in private areas. Here the principle is that mixing between unrelated men are those whom they are not mentioned in this verse of the Quran, non-muhrim, and the women is forbidden as a general rule. Okay? The Islamic rules give permit for mixing to occur under certain special circumstances. Number one, medicine. It is allowed for men and women to mix for the purpose of seeking medical treatment. For example, if I want to go to a physician, and actually he is a good one, okay, I'm not supposed to say I will not go to that physician because he is a man and I am a woman. Okay, this is wrong. Okay, and actually it is advised if there is a female doctor and a male doctor, and the male doctor is better than the female doctor, you must go to the male doctor. Okay, because there are some people whom they say that I will not go to any male doctor, even if he is the best. This is wrong. We are commanded to try the best to keep our health in the best shape. And there is always a nurse. So it is not only you and the doctor, there must be a nurse, you know, someone is with you and the doctor, so that you feel that, you know, it is not a man and a woman, and the third one is the shaitan. And mostly the physicians are married, and they are not so happy in their marriage, so they are not interested in women mostly. So he will not, you know, try, you know, to have a relation with his patient. Okay? But basically it is allowed for men and women to mix for the purpose of seeking medical treatment.
Actually, there have been so many cases where the doctors, they did abuse their patients, the women.
They abused them.
Again, like, you know, they seek them, but there's always like a nurse there, or they bring someone with them, because there has been cases where here, I mean, in the States, where the doctors would abuse their patients.
So actually, maybe the presence of the nurse is very important, so that, you know, this will not happen. Number two, regarding, you know, the situations where mixing is allowed is for the da'wah. What is the meaning of this? It is allowed for men and women to be present in the same class if the purpose of their mixing is learning about Islam or other types of education permitted by the Islamic law. So also in the college, there can be mixing, but actually it is better to have the women or the girls or the students, female students on one side and the male students in one side. This is not going on done in the West or even in our countries, but mixing, you know, is allowed for the sake of education. Number three, marriage. If a man is looking to marry a woman, then he is allowed to talk to her about issues related to finding about her and related to the marriage. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask him about marrying a girl, and the Prophet told him to go and see her in her mahram's presence. For example, to see her while her father is around, so that, you know, he has, you know, the right to look at her, okay, and to talk to her. Maybe there will be no chemistry between them. Maybe she looks very beautiful, but, you know, they have different points of view about many issues in life, and they will not fit together, so it is better to talk to them. And actually, sometimes, you know, the problem in Islam, I don't like to say all the time the problem in Islam for a revered sister. She will be complicated. The issue is that, you know, there are some, you know, scholars whom they are very strict. So they will, regarding marriage, their points of view is that you can see the one whom you are intending to engage her while her father is around, and to talk to her while her father is around. But this is too much, because she will not talk freely while her father is around. So there must be, you know, maybe her father can stay a little bit 3 meters away, but she must feel free. You know, this is the problem of the strict scholars. This is wrong. Islam is not like this. You know, Islam is a religion which actually is based on the, you know, the basic needs of the human beings. I need to feel free with that person whom I will marry him, inshallah, for the rest of my life. So I can't show that I am very shy, I am very polite, I am very nice in front of my father. Okay? Otherwise, my father will give me very hard time if I tell him, you don't look very nice, I don't like your, you know, your face, whatever, your hair is not so, you know, silky as I am looking for, whatever. You know, this is the normal, this is the nature. Okay, so we must not be very strict regarding this issue. You know, either to be so to the right or to be so to the left. This is wrong. The middle is very good. Okay, so she has the right to sit with the one whom she is supposed to marry and to talk with him. They are alone, but they are at home. Okay, they are not, you know, far away in a casino, okay, where it will may be dangerous for her, or he can do harm for her. No, he can come and visit once or twice or three times. So long they are at home, so long, you know, he is a good person and her father is still at home during the visit. We must not be so strict regarding these issues, because actually it is always, the result is always failure. Okay, number four, energy in the emergency situations. Okay, when there is a hurricane, okay, and there is only one place for the men and women to stay together, okay, there is actually a permit for the women and men to stay at the situations of emergency. Also during eating, we will recite now from the Holy Quran, from Surah number 24, verse number 61, regarding the rules of eating and mixing during eating, as it is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Surah number 24, verse number 61.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ليس على الأعمى حرج ولا على الأعرج حرج ولا على المريض حرج ولا على أنفسكم تأكلوا من بيوتكم أو بيوت آبائكم أو بيوت أمهاتكم أو بيوت إخوانكم أو بيوت أخواتكم أو بيوت أعمامكم أو بيوت عماتكم أو بيوت أخوالكم أو بيوت خالاتكم أو ما ملكتم مفاتحه أو صديقكم ليس عليكم جناح أن تأكلوا جميعا أو أشتاتا فإذا دخلتم بيوتا فسلموا على أنفسكم تحية من عند الله مباركة طيبة كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تعقلون.
صدق الله.
There is not upon the blind any constraint, nor upon the lame constraint, nor upon the ill constraint, nor upon yourselves, when you eat from your own houses, or the houses of your fathers, or the houses of your mothers, or the houses of your brothers, the houses of your sisters, or the houses of their fathers, the houses of your father's sisters, or the houses of your mother's brothers, or the houses of your mother's sisters, or from the houses whose your keys possess, or from the house of your friend. There is no blame upon you, whether you eat together or separately. But when you enter houses, give greetings of peace upon each other, a greeting from Allah, blessed and good. Thus does Allah make clear to you the verses of ordinance that you may understand.
So actually, sisters, for men and women to eat together is permitted in the places mentioned in the verse of the Quran, this verse, such as the homes of your fathers, of your friends. But when you are at the house of your friend, it is better that the women will be in one place, and maybe both of them are in the same room, but the women will be eating in one table and the men in one table. Because actually when the men and the women, they will sit together, you know, in the same table like our table, okay, maybe you are clean-hearted, but you are not sure the friend of your husband is clean-hearted or not. Okay, this is the problem. The problem is that you can be sure of yourself regarding mixing, but you are not sure of the intention of the other people. Maybe you are the person whom you like to joke or to, you know, to speak nice with the people. Some men, they actually translate this behavior in a wrong way. So he will start, you know, to try to be very close to you or to talk to you, you know, in very private issues. Okay? So this is wrong. This is actually the problem of the mixing. Accordingly, in the Quran, we are allowed to eat with our friends. But still, we must keep the rule, you know, active. This means that I must be aware of the foreign men. Okay? I am eating with the women, and the men are in the same room, but I am not supposed to go to the men and say, do you like to eat more? What you are interested in regarding the food? You know, again and again, sisters, it is the intention. Okay? It is the intention for obeying Allah the Almighty. Next, regarding the situation where mixing is permitted, it is actually related to salat al-rahim, maintaining the relation, the kinship relationship. Okay, it is allowed for non-mahram relatives to sit with their mahram relatives, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, for the sake of keeping the family relation good. For example, if you are visiting your uncle and his son is there, okay, so you can sit with your uncle and with his son. You are not supposed to remove your head cover in front of, you know, this will be your nephew. Okay? Yeah. You are not supposed. Okay? But you can sit with him so long his father is there. Okay? We must keep the family relations, okay? Because there are some people whom they say, if the nephew is there, don't go to the house. Okay? This is wrong. You can go.
The cousin.
Okay, you can go, but you know, at the same time, you know, when you are actually having the fear of Allah in your heart, you will lower your eye, you will speak in a nice way, not in a very soft way, okay? And we can still be a family. Your uncles, your, you know, your nephews, whatever, you know, the family can be a strong family. We can have a very strong relations so long we fear Allah in our hearts and we try all the time not to, you know, bypass the rules of Allah, the Almighty. Okay? But there are some people whom, when you tell her, come to visit your uncle, she will tell you, no, my cousin is there and I don't like, because because Allah didn't allow me. So your uncle will tell you, you will never come and visit us. I don't know, I am not sure, I want to obey Allah.
My brother-in-law, he's getting introduced to women, and that's what they have this very picture that the parents think that this is their daughter is very, and then he'll meet them, and it's nothing of the picture that was presented, and the parents believe to their heart that's their daughter is, you know, prays 5 times a day, she's very, you know, yes, and then it's none of it is true because there's such a disconnect between the parents and the kids, and the kids are presenting this picture of themselves to their parents, and the parents don't really get to know their child, to know what they're really doing behind their backs.
You know, this is the problem, and this is actually, you know, the main problem, you know, sisters, is that when we raise our kids, we must teach them to fear Allah, not to fear the parents. Actually, I'm always mentioning this to my daughter, you know, when actually it became clear to my mind how to be a good human being. Okay? This equals to never to fear human beings. Okay? Because human beings are powerless. Fear Allah. If you raise your kid to fear Allah, inshallah, he is a very good person. He has values. Okay, but to fear the parents, this is the very easy way, the most easy. With my mother, with my father, I will cheat them 100%. And this is how the parents are teaching their kids the basics of cheating. Because if they start to cheat their parents, they will cheat the teacher, they will cheat the husband. You know, this will be a habit for them. And this is wrong, you know, to fear the parents. So as she is mentioning, you know, they all the time, they cheat. And when someone will, for example, ask them or question them, why you are doing like this? This is not good. You are, you know, you are not a good person. She will say, they will give me hard time. This is what they choose. Okay? They cannot frame me as they like. Okay? I must frame myself. They must teach me what is right and wrong. And inshallah, teach me to fear Allah, and inshallah, I will be a good person. But how the parents, you know, are raising their kids, the most important is to fear the parents, and also to fear the community. I can do everything away from the community. Nobody knows anything about me. In front of everyone, I am the very good girl, the respectable, covered, alhamdulillah, inshallah. What is this? You know, this is total destruction of the values of a human being. Okay, but subhanallah, I hope that the people will change. We will learn about mixing in the public life. This concerns people when they are in public areas. Here again, the principle is that mixing between unrelated men and women is forbidden as a general rule. But there are some circumstances, special circumstances, where mixing is allowed. Number one, during Hajj. During Hajj, there is mixing between men and women. Number two, trade and hiring. This includes markets, shops, buying, selling, hiring, lending. Actually, it is acceptable, but according to also the rules of Islam. Number three, during work. Mixing is allowed during the work. There is a permit for the work mixing, but it has to be also under actually the rules of Islam. Only Allah knows what are the rules of Islam regarding mixing at work. Number four, everyday life affairs, for example, in the streets, markets, restaurants, actually interaction between men and women is allowed. Now, actually, also it is mentioned here about wedding. In Islamic wedding, it must be that the men are in one place and the women are in one place, and this is not happening mostly. Regarding the Muslims.
How old is your daughter?
Now? My daughter now is 21. Alhamdulillah. This happens 10 years or 11 years ago. Now I will give you a question about ruling on a woman putting her picture on the Facebook. Okay, because this is a very common question. What is the ruling on woman putting her picture on her Facebook page, especially since some of our sisters who wear hijab believe that putting pictures in the Facebook is not a problem? So, what do you have time to think?
I don't think there's a problem with it, because if she's walking in the street, they can see her face, right? So, I don't think
in the Facebook, no problem.
I don't think.
Okay.
No, I mean, as long as, I mean, to me, sometimes they put, they make faces, they put their lips up, put so much makeup. Probably not. But I mean, if she's walking on the street, I mean, it will be the same thing. Like if it's, she posted on.
In the Facebook. What do you think?
I'm liberal. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a distant one.
Yeah. No problem.
I don't agree with Facebook. I just think it just brings a lot of.
That,
a lot of problems, a lot of issues, a lot of...
Time to go?
I'll go back
to work. So you don't have a Facebook?
I don't have Facebook.
You don't have. Why?
No.
I want you to clarify.
It brings bad intentions, bad people will watch stuff. There's people that bring up old people that they were interested in, and it just is it seeds badness. I just think it's a social, and people escape, they use it, and I find it personally not a good.
Actually, you know, it is the answer, the Islamic answer for this, that it is forbidden for a girl to put a picture of herself on the Facebook or in the chat rooms or in the other websites for a number of reasons. We will learn the reasons from the Holy Quran, but before learning about the reasons, actually I agree with Shuan, because, you know, actually if you try, you know, to analyze the Facebook, what is the Facebook? The Facebook is pictures, you know, to put your picture while you are in the best shape or in the best event. Nun is putting her picture while she's crying, or she is upset, or she is, you know, failing something, okay? They just put their pictures when they are very beautiful, they are outside, they are putting the best clothes, you know, her husband is hugging her, you know, her husband is kissing her, if he is her husband actually, you know. So as she is mentioned, you know, the problem with the Facebook is that it is not the reality, because there is no human being who has a happy life 24 hours. So you choose the best time of your life and you show it to me. Okay, maybe at that time I am in the worst time of my life. So what I will do, there are many people whom they commit suicide because of the Facebook. You know, because if every day I will try to check, you know, Shuan, Facebook, and every day she's going out today. Tomorrow she is in the restaurant with her husband. After tomorrow she has a new... No, I can't tolerate. What about my life? What about my life? You know, this is a problem. It is a very big problem. And actually it was written in the newspaper that, for example, if someone was having a relation with a woman 10 years ago, and then he divorced his wife, again he remembered the first love of his life, he can get her from the Facebook.
I hope he does.
Actually, it happened, you know, with my daughter, my middle daughter. Yes, you know, she's married now for more than 10 years. And one day, and she has a head cover, you know. And one day, someone wrote to her, I was your colleague 12 years ago in Iowa City. Do you remember me? She was so surprised.
Yeah.
How come he can, you know, he was searching for her and he can find her. And again he is trying to communicate with her in spite of the fact she wrote that she's married. And she's carrying her son in the picture, you know. So what do you want? Why you are writing to me now? Why you want to communicate with me? You see, so this is actually very bad. This is going on in the Facebook, you know, mostly. You know, for example, she's putting her picture, my daughter, while she's carrying her son. But there are a lot of women whom they are married, okay? And they put their picture, and sometimes they didn't say that they are married. You know, and so every man can try to communicate. And actually it happened to me for the website, my website, I decided to have a Facebook, so that, you know, everyone is telling me, you know, the only way now to have your classes, you know, to be listened by a big number of people is the Facebook. You can't escape the Facebook. So at the time I said, okay, what can I do? I will have a Facebook. So I had my Facebook, and, you know, people start to like it, you know. But I noticed that some women start to write for me their problems. Okay, so one of them was writing to me, I have a problem and I want you to tell me the solution so that inshallah my husband will be good with me. So I told her, write for me your problem shortly. She wrote back, it is a very simple problem. Through the Facebook I came to have a relation through the Facebook with two men. Very simple problem. Okay, and one of them, he exceeded the limits regarding the language. Okay, and the other one, I gave him my cell phone number. So he kept on calling me. But you know, Sister Mona, I was very good wife. I didn't delete the messages, as most of the wives are doing. I kept it. So my husband, he had my phone once, and he checked my phone, and he read all these messages. And then he became upset. Why? Can you imagine? Believe me, after I received this message, I closed my Facebook. I said, no, I will not participate with this. Even, you know, now to have my, you know, website through the email, most of the people are not following the email, you know, I am not widely spread as I was expected, but... You know, the Facebook is a very big, yes, very big problem. And, you know, whenever I mention this to the sisters, I always mention to the sisters, you know, you are wasting your time. You are wasting your energy. How you will focus on your family problems if all the time you are actually disturbed with that sister whom she has a new clothes, this one is have a new house, this one, her husband is in love with her, this one is whatever. So how I will focus in my own life? I will not, and I will never, you know, be happy with my own life. Correct. Because every day there is someone who is living a better life than me. Every day there is someone. So, you know, actually to be away from the Facebook, okay, is very good. But when I mention this to most of the sisters, they refuse. You know, because the Facebook is addiction. This is the problem of the Facebook.
You are right.
You know, and most of the people are not aware of this. You know,
right.
I can't imagine who is behind the Facebook. Who is, Shaitan is behind the Facebook. To tell you the truth, this is an idea from the Shaitan. Because for 1 week, if you keep on, when you wake up in the morning, you will take your coffee, okay, let me check the Facebook. Okay, next day, third day, fourth day, that's it. You will not be able to get rid of that habit, you know, because it gives you another life away from your reality. So that's very good. Pictures, stories, very good. So actually, you know, this is very good that we mentioned about, you know, putting the picture on the Facebook, not just putting the picture in the Facebook, you know. And from the Facebook, what started WhatsApp? Okay, WhatsApp. Okay, it is a group of people. We have our, you know, emails together or whatever, phone numbers. And, you know, I will wake up in the morning and write, good morning. You will answer. Then I answer. Then you write. And all the day I have a sister whom she is mentioning to me that when she will wake up in the morning, she will have 70 messages. So I told her, if you just... 70, believe me, because this is a group, very big group of sisters. And actually the sisters, someone, or mostly, they are having groups in Houston, group in their country, group with other people. So she has 3 or 4 WhatsApp. Okay, so I told her, if you have a Facebook and 3 WhatsApp, where is the time for your family?
You don't have a life.
You don't have a life. You are all the time in this unrealistic life. You know, for example, Ramadan, during Ramadan, every day they will keep on writing what they cook today. Okay, every one of the 70 sisters will write, you know, what is this nonsense? You know, and because of this, they all the time tell me, Sister Mona, please be part of our group. I told them, I have this phone. With this very old phone, I can't be in any group. I can't have WhatsApp, I don't want to have internet or anything, because I want to focus on the reality. We must focus on our reality. How I will take care of my kids, how I will take care of my health, how I will be oriented with what is going on in life, if I am all the time busy with the life of the other people.
The only thing that I have this one here is because I need to connect with my kids if there's an emergency or whatever. And the only, they post what they're doing.
Yes.
So I get to know what they're doing.
Yes. You know, this is the problem actually with the Facebook, is that, you know, it gives some help to the people, you know, to communicate with their relatives in back in their countries back, you know. So through this one, because, you know, this is for the young, very young one, teenagers. This is the problem. So it is not allowed. Moderation and everything is very good. Actually, here he mentioned about the same verses of the Quran which we just mentioned, you know, about mixing, you know, and about, you know, the relation between the men and women. And actually he is mentioning that the Facebook opened the door for the temptation and evil for the women and for those who see her through the picture. So actually, he is mentioning that there are many painful stories caused by the Facebook, and how many pure women have fallen into the traps of those whom they don't fear Allah, evildoers who have tempted them with sweet words and promises until, you know, when they had their way with them, they turned their back on them. And actually, we must be aware of the Facebook all the time. And inshallah, we were about to learn more about how to avoid women's temptation. Let us keep it for next class, inshallah, and let us make the dua. الرحمن الرحيم الله صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.